Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. Today I have Dr. Alice Hill. Dr. Hill runs an office out of Aiken, South Carolina, and we recently met you at ACT, and Katie and Andre came back just raving about all the work you did and how you fill out the spreadsheets at ACT with the gaps. And, you know, really just thank you for jumping on the podcast with me. I'm so honored to have you, and thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, I love a good origin story. Where were you before? How'd you get into dentistry? Tell me how we ended up here.
So dentistry is all I've ever known. So basically, I babysat for dentist in town when I was a young teenager and started working for an oral surgeon when I was 14. He said, come work in my office and see how you like it. Mm-hmm. And so worked all through high school and then into college, and all I ever wanted to do was wanted to be an oral surgeon, but life kind of happened. So when I was a sophomore, I went to dental hygiene school and then graduated with my BS in hygiene, worked as a hygienist for 7 years, and then was like, nope, I'm going to dental school. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And so I told my husband that I think I want to go to dental school. And he was like, why? And I said, I don't want to be 40 and wonder if I could have done it. So I went to dental school at 30, and here we are.
So now, that's
kind of the gist of it.
How have you balanced? We were talking on the pre-show. You have kids. You have a completely out-of-network practice. How have you balanced your life and all of the challenges through those years to get here?
You know, I don't believe in balance. And that may sound kind of strange.
No, but I love it. Keep going.
You have different phases in life, and every season is different. And so, I was an associate for 6.5 years before I bought a practice. The dentist was retiring. And so I bought his practice in 2013. And so I had my kids, you know, when I first got out of school. Mm-hmm. And so they were, five and three when I bought the practice. And it was crazy. I have no idea. My mom was sick. My father-in-law, a couple years later, got sick with cancer. I mean, it was just crazy. But I don't know. You just kind of keep the important things in the forefront. And I mean, I did a lot of praying, a lot of holding on tight. But like I said, there's just seasons, and you just kind of work through where you're at and what you're doing. So the kids have always been around the practice. They've been here. I bought a new building in 2022. We moved in September of 22, and it's three times the size of what my other practice was, the little one. But like I said, the kids have always been around. They're here all the time, you know, when they're not doing whatever they do. And so just trying to, like I said, keep the important things in the forefront, and everything else is just kind of comes into play, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you think through those seasons, how would you define the seasons of your life? Right.
Oh,
go back to college. Like what's the, you know, where's the beginning and the end of the seasons there for you?
Yeah. So, I think in undergrad, it's kind of like that season of, you know, getting to that main goal. You know, it's like I was a chemistry major when I went off to college, and I had to make a good GPA, and that was like the focus. So everything else was, I guess, peripheral, you know? And then my father ended up passing away when I was a sophomore in college. And so that's when I made the decision to go to hygiene school, because I needed to be able to support myself and graduate from college and be able to support myself. So I worked full time, was taking classes, and then went to hygiene school. And then all I was trying to do was just graduate. You know, it's like,
just holding on.
Just holding on. Yeah. Just holding on. And then I graduated, and it's like, well, maybe I don't, you know, want to go to dental school, you know, my grades, you know, so I'm working, trying to pay rent, you know, that kind of. And then, you know, and then I met my husband, and we ended up getting married, and then, you know, he had a good career. I had a good career. It's like, well, you know, maybe we'll just live the dream, you know, kind of thing. So you're just kind of doing what you do. And then I had this kind of epiphany that, you know, this, what I was doing wasn't wasn't what I wanted to be doing. Like, I loved dentistry and I loved treating the patients and stuff, but it wasn't exact. I knew I was called for more. Mm-hmm. And or I just believed that I was called for more. And so that was kind of the focus. It's like, okay, what else am I supposed to be doing? And that's when I made the decision that, you know, I think I'm going to go to dental school. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And I really didn't understand why. And so then when I made that decision, the focus was, you know, getting into dental school. I had prerequisites to take. And that was the main focus was, you know, my husband and I we didn't have kids. So it was just the two of us. So we were mountain biking and I was studying and, you know, and I worked full time too. So, but that was it. So, yeah. And then went to dental school and that was, you know, you're in this bubble. And that was just your focus there. And fortunately, my husband's not a needy husband. So I studied and worked hard and did what I had to do. I knew I wanted to have a general practice and do my own thing. And as a hygienist, I had worked for different doctors and seen some things I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I felt like patients deserved a little bit different thing. And so, yeah, so that's what I wanted to do. So graduated and yeah, started working as an associate. And then after 6.5 years, it was like, okay, now I really want to own my own thing. I want to own my own practice. And so we toyed with the idea of a startup. And then that I was like, no, I didn't, you know, if I couldn't find a practice to buy, then I was going to do a startup.
Right.
But I just so happened to find a dentist that was ready to retire and bought it. And then the rest is history. I mean, he stayed on for about 5 weeks, bought it in November. He stayed a few days a week for about 5 weeks.
Wow.
And then he was done. So
that's so. Now, when you talked about something different for patients, like what's the emotion? What do you want a new patient to experience when they come to see you?
So my practice is oral systemic is what we call it. It's very, so we look at the whole health of the patient. So we're looking at the biofilm and looking at how intricate the mouth directly relates to the health of the body. And I think for dentistry, it's been, you know, we all know that the mouth is part of the body, but we've kind of wanted to have this thing like, well, they're just teeth. And then medicine is medicine. But now we know that they're all connected. And if you have periodontal disease and inflammation in the mouth, you're going to have it in the whole body. And so that was, and I didn't realize it back then, but that was kind of the driver as to, you know, what I was looking at. So, and I knew that there was more to it. So, you know, and it was about, I guess, when I bought my practice, 2013, 2014, I started, you know, listening to podcasts and reading a lot of stuff about how perio disease and heart attacks and stuff were all connected. And then that just sent me down a road that I'm not turned back on. It's been fun.
Now, do you ever encounter patients that don't align with you philosophically or and how do you handle that? What goes down?
That's okay. So, you know, I don't know. So I've listened to a little bit of Seth Godin and, you know, he's like, I'm not for everybody. And that's kind of, you know, like we were talking about before, it's like, you know, you want to try to keep everybody, but I'm not for everybody and everybody's not for me. And so if we don't align philosophically, if our beliefs and our values aren't the same, then that's okay. But maybe I'm not the right person for you. And it's hard to come to that, you know, but I have to be open to say that's okay. And if you change your mind and you decide that, hey, maybe there's something to that, you can come back. But overall, I let those patients go.
You've hit on what is probably the most common marketing mistake that companies and certainly we as individual business owners make. And that's somewhere there's this desire to make everyone happy or be as appealing as possible to as many people as possible.
Right.
And it's so interesting because paradoxically, you become more appealing the more you niche down into something, some form of specialty of whatever your, whether it be your thing.
Right.
Someone who's so passionate, as you said, about, you know, oral systemic connections and things, they paradoxically become more appealing to someone who may have never considered it.
Right.
Because of the demonstration of excellence and the passion and you're repeating it and things like that. And no, we see it all the time. Any practice that's out there that's trying to be touch everyone, everyone right. should be welcome here.
Yeah.
It becomes a little bit of a marketing nightmare, if you will, because I don't know. I don't even know what you stand for.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, at the older I get, so at 51 now, I realize I'm weird and and people don't like me for whatever reason. And so it's, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not for everybody. And it's, and it does get hard because there are times in the business where you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, like I need everybody to come in. But then it's like, okay, let's take a breath. And do we want everybody? We don't want, I mean, we all have family members. We really are like, I don't want them to come. So, you know, it's the same thing.
Now, when you look back on your career, and you think through where you are today, and it's no doubt an enviable position for most dentists. I mean, you're working, you know, what, 165 days a year, you know, doing very well. What are the highlights? Like, if you look back on your career, like, what's the highlight? Like, man, this was such a great event. And what was a low light that you had to power through?
Wow, that's a tough question. Like, I'll go
to give you time to think.
Yeah.
Give you a minute. I think I never know, Dr. Hill, do I start with the low light or the highlight? I'm going to start with the low light. There was a time, and we talked about on the pre-show, where Andre and I decided that we were going to stop working with most of our private equity backed offices. And at the time, we were growing about 4 to 6 accounts a month in just general growth. Like, so I mean, we were moving up pretty quick. And we ended up cutting about 30% of our revenue. And I mean, gosh, like I remember like the pit in my stomach of cutting, because we did not cut personnel. We did not cut anything. We just cut revenue. Yeah. And we knew we did not run a 30% total profit margin. So we knew we were going to go in the red. And it happened. And the month we decided that, November of 22, our new clients went down to zero. And I don't think we signed another client for 6 months. And it had nothing to do with us cutting these private equity. But it was the lowest of lows, because you went from this, like, because we were adding these you know, private accounts.
Right.
And then we cut 30% of our revenue, and like just the well dried up.
Yeah.
And it was so scary. And, you know, we hung on, but it was so scary. And like, there was a lot of prayer, and we would come together and be like, this was wrong. We made a bad choice. And we would then kind of like talk about it and be like, nope, I'm not going to call them back. I'm not going to take it back. Yeah. And I think my high, and you alluded to it, my high is like my girls, they're 12 and 13 now. They run around the office. They know everyone. They know some of the inside jokes of the office. They love to come up here and join some of the meetings. You know, at 13, they know what an all-on-4 is, and they know, you know, little things they've picked up, and it's just so rewarding to, you know, to get to watch them work. Because my dad was an electrician on the railroad, and he obviously couldn't take me to work very much, but the times he did, I have such a fond memory of.
Right. Yeah.
You know, of his. Yes. So that's, those are mine. Those are my, that's my low and my high. My low was low. I was scared, buddy. Yeah, I was scared.
It is really scary. And I think that, you know, kind of the same thing. So when we implemented the microscope for saliva, for looking at the biofilm in 2022, January of 22. Mm-hmm. So I invested in these microscopes, you know, took the hygienist to training and brought training into the office and everything. And a lot of the team was like, I mean, there were a couple members on the team that were like, you know, what are we doing? Like, we're just dentists. Like, you're just a dentist, you know? And so a lot of people didn't understand it. And so that was very hard, you know, coming back from COVID too. It's like, this is crazy. Patients didn't like it. They didn't want to see the bugs on the screen, you know? And that was like, And so it's like a pivotal moment. Do you go back to the way you've always done it? You know, knowing that that's not the right way, and that I believed that that was the right way because now I know better, you know? So do you dig in and say, okay, and you know, patients left and patients were uncomfortable and it's like, hey, we're going to stick with it. And, you know, and that was kind of like a pivotal moment where we kind of put our flag in the sand to say, hey, you know, and my mission is to bridge the gap between dentistry and medicine. And that was kind of leaving that mark in the sand to say, this is what we stand for. We're going to stand for overall health and that the mouth is directly related to the body. And this is where we're putting our flag. And it's scary, mm-hmm. you know, when patients come in and we do our new patient completely different. We don't clean teeth on the same day we do a new patient exam. And patients are like, I just don't understand this. And it's, you do feel kind of like, am I doing it wrong? You know, but, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I've kind of, you know, I still stick to my guns and say, no, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. So, yeah, but you do get scared, but mm-hmm. I just have to believe that, you know, that I'm doing the right thing and patients are getting healthier and my team loves it and they're with me. So, you know, I can't ask for more than that. So, and I sleep okay at night. So I feel like I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, no, that sounds wonderful. You know, we talked about speaking and certain things. What are the 3, 4, 5 most important points for you in running a successful operation like you do?
I think, you know, having worked in an office, I was an assistant, I was a hygienist, I've answered the phone. When I worked in the oral surgeon's office, I did everything that nobody else wanted to do. Because I was a teenager and they were like, let her do that. Having done every aspect of the office, it just, you know, I know the team is the biggest thing for me. And it's hard because you are, you know, you do run the office and you're responsible for the decisions that are made and the culture and everything. So I think investing in the team is one of the biggest things that as a business owner that I can do, and just helping people to grow. So, you know, I've always been involved with Entree Leadership, which is a Ramsey organization branch or whatever. But, and so I, you know, have been involved with their coaching for a long time, and they talk about the team and culture and that, and then having gotten involved with ACT, you know, again, it's the culture and how you treat your people. And so, I mean, I would say that's number one.
Okay. You know, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Kirk says, I took the team to Milwaukee for the best practices seminar for the whole team last week. You know, and Kirk talked about like the patients aren't number one, like the team mm-hmm. is number one, you know, and stuff. So, so I would say that's the biggest thing. And then figuring out your mission and your purpose, like, I'd always heard about that when I bought the practice in 2013, you know, having a mission and a vision for the practice, you know, I'd read books about that, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, but I just, it never felt solid to me. And so, you know, when COVID happened, I had time to reflect on that. And so that was the year that I really, really solidified why I do what I do. And that's, you know, like I said, my mission is to bridge the gap between dentistry and medicine to enable people to be healthier, maintain their dignity, and live a long, amazing life. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think, do what I do.
I think finding your mission statement is a little bit like going to therapy. Like,
yes.
It's work.
It is work.
You rarely work. Stumble on, yes, there's the miracle story of the person who's just yeah. evolved and amazing, but it's so much work.
Because it is.
Even when people ask us, what makes you different? It's, you give this like elevator speech almost. And the problem that I had, Dr. Hill, was it didn't feel genuine to me. It felt like mm-hmm. I was repeating what
right.
I wanted to be, maybe aspirationally, or
right.
I was repeating what I think someone else wanted to hear about yeah. my position. And it's work to hone in on yeah. your people and your thing. So you got... Yeah. Define your team. You got find your mission. Is there a mm-hmm. last one?
Oh gosh. You know, I think
if you did those two, you're going to be square.
I think I going to be square. Yeah.
I think, and then you just, would too. Yeah.
You know, and then just keeping the most important thing, the most important thing, you know, like your family, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. Not letting not letting the other stuff get in front of, you know, the most important things.
Oh gosh, I lose my way regularly.
It's hard. I think we all lose our way at times, you know?
No, when you know, you said you sleep well, and I like that. When you close your eyes, is there a patient that you can point to that I know that I made such a difference in their life?
So, you know, when we look at from a restorative standpoint, I have one that he came in and you would never think that he would ever want any, like, want to invest in dentistry, would be interested in the oral systemic stuff, any of that. And, you know, so, you know, he'd had many teeth out. He, you know, needed a lot of help. And it's like, you know, well, we can help you. So we're kind of cleaning his teeth and, you know, getting him healthy from a bacterial standpoint. And he was like, I want to fix them all. Like, I want them all fixed. And I was like, are you, you know, it's like, what do you mean you want them all fixed? And he was like, I don't want to lose any more teeth and I just want them all fixed. So we did a full mouth rehab on him.
Mm. Now, how old was he?
Mm-hmm. He was in his 60s.
60s. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to meet this man, you would think there is absolutely no way that he could afford it. You know, that he would want this. You would just be like, no way. And I told him, yes, we can do it. And I've been to the Dawson Academy and they tell you never assume, you know, that anybody, and, you know, I've not done a lot of full mouth rehab cases or anything like that. I am not that, you know, that didn't, but, and so he said, I want you to do it. And so we did a full mouth rehab on him. And I get teary eyed when I see him in the office, like, I am so honored that he chose me to do that for him. And he is happy. And he's like, you changed my life. And even his daughters, like, they had no idea that he was doing this. Mm. And she's like, you don't understand. Like, people walk up to him now. He says that people approach him at work differently. Like, you changed his life. I'm like, well, he changed my life too, because it just, you know, to have that kind of impact on somebody is just, it's just amazing. So I'm very fortunate.
That's such a wonderful story. We underestimate the impact we have on people's lives sometimes. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, yeah, you did real well by that man.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Was there a trigger or an impetus that had you focus on more oral health and the holistic approach to the body? Did you grow into it? You know, was it something you always had in the back of your mind?
So there was a trigger. So when I was a hygienist, and I didn't realize, you know, you don't see the path until you look backwards. So when I was a hygienist, I had a very sick patient and I went to the dentist and I was like, something's going on. You know, they have diabetes, you know, something, this patient, you know, he's bleeding, he's talking that he's doing what he needs to be doing, he's brushing and flossing, and it's like, something needs to be done. And the dentist was like, oh, it's, you know, it is what it is. And I just felt like, do we need, you know, like, I learned in hygiene school that the mouth affected the heart and this kind of stuff, but I just knew there was more. I just felt like there was more. So I, you know, I'll get on down the road, I'm a dentist, and in my practice, I see these patients that are, you know, they're just not healthy. And we're doing these bloody prophies and we're doing all this. And it's like, is there more? And no lie, I was listening to a podcast and it was Dr. Chip Whitney on a podcast. And he's a physician out of Virginia, I think is where he's at. And he's talking about periodontal disease and heart attacks. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, we need to get dentists involved. Doctors need to know that gum disease is going to drive heart attacks. And I was like, holy crap. Like, why are we not stepping into this? And this was like 2013, 2014. And so from there, I just started kind of devouring all I could. I was listening to stuff. I was reading stuff. I was, you know, every time it came up or I could find a podcast to listen to, And then Dr. Bradley Bale, he wrote the book, Beat the Heart Attack Gene. I was listening to him on a podcast. And so then I got the opportunity in 2018 to hear him speak. And I took my husband with me to the lecture and we met him. And that's kind of how it just all kind of started taking off. And it was like, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be. So that was kind of the pivotal moment. So, yeah.
And the rest is history.
Huh? The rest is history. And now I'm just constantly learning. I mean, it's just, you know, like I've spoken at the Dental Hygiene Symposium in Savannah for Augusta University. And then I spoke at the Alumni Day for Augusta University a couple years ago. And every time I, you know, when I do a lecture or speak to the school or something like that, it's just, there's just more and more that comes out. Mm-hmm. And now we know there's no question if periodontal disease and heart attacks are related. We know that they are. So, mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the more we get into this inflammation and, you know, this age of whole health and more functional medicine, we'll learn so much more and the impact can be so much greater.
Now, when you think about the technology today and the direction, because it is very much into functional medicine and things like this, where do you see is the next path? Is it around, you know, is there a technology or a direction you see that you're excited about right now?
You know, I think airway is a big sleep, and airway is going to be really huge. I think that we're just kind of breaking the ice on the sleep issue that we have, the metabolic disease and diabetes and all of that together. I think as our young people get sicker, that's going to become more and more. We're going to want to do more and act more to find out more information to treat some of this. But I think sleep is going to be a big thing. And I think for dentistry, the airway and sleep is going to be pivotal. You know, because we as dentistry as a whole need to start stepping into this medical role that we have to help heal our patients.
That's so well said. I think that's a great place to wrap it up. I you know, sure enjoyed having you on the podcast. And anyone who wants to learn more about Dr. Hell, about, you know, the work that she's doing, about the systemic and you know, body and oral connection, please, we'll send a link in the show notes and, you know, but love to talk more. But thank you so much for taking the time to jump on. And
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This is great. I was a little nervous, but this is good.
No, this is so amazing. So amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.